Hey guys, I'm Alexa Reeves, and I will be your witch and host on today's episode of Boxed Wine and Witchcraft. Today, I narrowly avoided disaster. I am out of Bodabox Chardonnay in my fridge, the audacity. But fortunately, I had a Apothic Merlot bottle sitting in the back of my counter to save the day. So I will be sipping that on today's episode while we talk about altars and altar tools. I'll give you guys a brief overview of what all the tools are, what you do with them, why we have them, kind of the basic gist of those there. I'd like to remind everyone that your spirituality and religion is as unique as your fingerprint. What we say here is by no means the definitive rule on any topic, merely a jumping off point for you to begin your exploration into the amazing and complex world around you. So, with air that inspires us, earth that grounds us, fire that enlightens us, and water that moves us. Let's take a look at these altars, you guys, and let's talk about what altar tools do, don't do, and why we have them. So what is an altar? Why do we have them as you know, pagans, witches, practitioners of magic? Altars are any focal point for your magic, for your ritual, for whatever activity it is you are doing at the time. There are permanent altars set up in a lot of practitioners' houses. Those become like workstations almost. They kind of become where you set up to do ritual. If you're going to do spell, you do the spell work on the altar. You have your symbols for your deities. You have the symbols for whatever higher powers you're working with on your altar. Then there are the altars that we use in circles. If we're going to do a coven get together, some outside work, you have traveling altars, basically, you know, tools that you pick up and take with you outside to set up an altar and then tear it down when you're done. Basic pagan altar tools, which are also basic Wiccan tools and also basic witchcraft tools. They're all kind of synonymous. They all kind of intertwine a little bit. They work together really well. And these things that I'm gonna give you guys the overview of, like kind of like the top 10 or so, these are really practical. These are amazingly practical tools as well as symbolic tools. A lot of them hold very deep spiritual connection with a lot of practitioners. A lot of them hold a deep ancestral bind to practitioners that have them. There, in my experience with multiple practitioners, there is no rule anywhere that says you have to have any or all of these. There is a lot of stringent guideline in some of the pagan community where they will say things like, oh, your pentagram, for example, has to be copper, or your chalice has to be silver. Sure, if that's something that you can make happen, absolutely. But real life gets in the way of a lot of magic, and sometimes that's not an option. Sometimes you don't have a beautiful silver chalice. Sometimes you have a cute coffee mug that you can work with because it's your favorite. So altar tools, take these as generalizations and then use your own, one, resources, and two, kind of creative intuition as to what to incorporate on your own altar spreads. But they're great focal points. I love having tools. I love having altar tools because they help you channel that energy in. They help you hone in and pay attention to what it is you're focusing on. It kind of keeps your momentum going as you're either doing your ritual or your spell or your dedication or your honoring. So let's break down some of these altar tools here. So we have our pentagram and our pentacle. So let's break those two apart because there's two different things. Pentagram is just the actual shape of the star. The pentacle is the shape within a circle. And usually it's the pentacle that is found on an altar. It's usually a flat piece, roughly about the size of your hand or so. It's our earth symbol. It is used for summoning. It is used for centering of the altar. It usually, it reminds us all that of those five points, we are connected to all of them. That there is a deeper interconnectedness that runs through us and our magic and our world around us. And the pentacle as that earth symbol reminds us of that. A lot of times on altars, we have a chalice. which is a cup or a bowl. It traditionally has libations in it. It has water, it has wine, it has whatever liquid you're working with. It is the female symbol of the altar. It is our moon cup. It's a symbol of our goddess. It's a vessel for sacred liquid. So a lot of times in rituals, you'll see if your ritual calls for cakes and ales, you'll take the first ritual sip of whatever, again, wine, ale, liquid, out of your chalice, and you'll pass that around the circle to all the members. And then usually everybody just goes and pours their own drink as well. But it's part of that unity. We're all drinking from the same cup. We're all sharing from the same font of that sacred feminine energy. A lot of times you'll see practitioners have wands. Wands are usually handcrafted. I have seen so many amazing different variations on wands, though. The pagan community has gotten really clever, because I have seen the beautiful handcrafted ones made out of sacred wood, you know, rowan and oak and willow and birch. I have seen metal ones. I have seen ceramic ones. I knew someone once that made a gorgeous piece of wand using hot glue and chopsticks to make the length and shape they wanted, and then painted and sculpted clay around the rest of it to give it what they wanted, how it should look. Wands are pretty versatile. I love it. So if you are a practitioner who can't find an all wooden wand and you're freaking out of, oh my goodness, I'm, you know, the gods are not going to take me serious. Sure they are. Again, intent has a lot to do with this. So use something that feels familiar, but it should be anywhere between like 6 to 8 inches, or even as long as like the tip of your middle finger to your elbow. But it is literally our active power of fire. It is our fire symbol. I always think of wands as literally, this is, if we had to light the torches, we'd pick up our wand first, and that would be the light that we would use to guide our way forward. Wands are excellent tools for casting circles if you don't have an athame, or if you do have an athame, which I'll cover here next. They're a great focal device. They're a great directional device. So if you have specific work, or you have specific channels that you want to push your energy through, your wand becomes a really good tool for that. It becomes that funnel, basically, to pull all of your magic into the tool and then into whatever it is you're doing. Then we have our athame, or our sword. And these are the ritual knives. They are, now I have seen two different versions on people's altars of an athame, usually being black-handed, and then a bowling knife, usually being white-handled. The athame is used ceremonially. You cast circles with it, you invoke, you summon, you consecrate items with it, you banish. You charge objects with your athame or your sword. It's our air symbol. Whereas the bowline, B-O-L-I-N-E, is usually a white handle, and it's a practical knife. It's something that you cut herbs with. It's something that you cut offering food with. It's something that you, like, that's the one that actually gets nitty-gritty use, whereas your athame gets more spiritual symbolic use. A lot of altars have cauldrons that come in many different shapes and sizes. Cauldrons can be literally made of anything. It just depends on what you're going to do with your cauldron. Cauldrons are a little bit different than censers. Cauldrons I've always taken to be more of wide set, heavier metal, you know, ceramic. It is a vessel for you to mix herbs in, for you to mix spell devices in, even liquids for potions. But ideally, it's something that can be washed. It's something that can be cleaned out between spell uses. Because if I'm going to make some herbal potion and I need to mix all of these ingredients and let them steep for a few minutes in my cauldron, I'm going to want to be able to wash all of that out before I move on to the next spell. Censures, or braziers, are where you get a little bit more serious on heat resistance. Typically, censers or braziers are used for burning incense, or burning cone incense, loose leaf, briquette incense. These should be able to withstand heat to some degree. You shouldn't be afraid to put a lit match in here and it's not going to get too hot, it won't crack. I definitely recommend cast iron if you can find them. If you have in such a way a setup where you can put sand or soil in the bottom of your cauldron, or your sensor there, and even have like a little pedestal for some of your briquettes to sit on, that air is going to, one, help the airflow underneath your incense, but two, it's also going to keep fire hazards pretty low. Never leave your sensor going without being in the room, because it's one of the few things on an altar that definitely you can burn a finger with that one, and I'm speaking from past experiences here. Other altar tools you can find are the mortar and pestle. The mortar and pestle are that cute little bowl and heavy, basically, stick you see people grinding with. Your mortar is that bowl. And the mortar, it's a very ancient idea. They found in several archaeological digs shallow-based bowls where tribes of people were grinding wheats and herbs. And it was basically, it was the same thing. It's the process of taking two hard rock objects and squishing stuff between them to get it to grind down and to break open and to release, you know, the oils inside of them or the magic inside of them. My mortar and pestle gets a lot of use when I'm making my own incense, when I'm making my own herbal blends to put in tea or ritual baths. My husband, who I lovingly refer to as a kitchen witch, he has his own mortar and pestle that he puts all of his herbs in if he's going to make certain rubs, if he's going to make certain syrup infusions. The mortar and pestle is a great tool because you do get away with using it a lot. I have seen some people kind of double or triple down on a cauldron, a censer, and a mortar and pestle all in the same unit. Again, my only caution with that is if you're ever making something in it that is to be consumed, you're at least cleaning it out between uses because you don't want to put something in your body that's not meant to be there. We have altar cloths. Altar cloths are literally in any shape, size, function you can think of. They serve not only to kind of give the space a little bit more gravitas, so to speak. It differentiates and says, this is the space that's sacred now. We've put this cloth down. Usually the cloth represents some sort of color of the season or ritual work that you're doing. A lot of times they'll have symbols on them. They'll have, you know, the pentagram symbols. They'll have the moon phases. They'll have the zodiac wheel. It just depends on what kind of aesthetic you're going for and how much use your altar cloth gets for you, basically. The other thing altar cloths are great for is if you have to do a temporary altar outside, it doesn't really matter what kind of funny little ugly side table you bring out into the yard. You put an altar cloth over it and suddenly you don't see what's underneath it. But altar cloths are great. They also make really fun, like, ceremonial gifts to give friends. And they make fun craft projects if you're somebody that likes to kind of have a little more of a DIY vein in your magic. And last, but certainly not least, we have our broom. We have a literal broom. It is the stereotypic little cackling woman, you know, flying off into the sunset with her broom and her little dog. And the broom is such an essential tool, though. It is such a great tool. I highly recommend everyone have at least one in their life because there's something incredibly charming about owning one as a witch. But there's also a practical use for it. There is a deep connection between your ability to take a tool and actually banish or cleanse an area, push and brush things out of the way, sacred, you know, kind of keeping the sacred space clean there. A lot of broom jumping and a lot of broom passing and broom circles and stuff like that are great variations on casting a circle. If you can't cast a circle, if you don't want to use an athame to call corners, sweep the corners. Take your broom and sweep your circle into existence and then sweep your circle out of existence. Brooms come in all shapes and sizes. Some of them are base, practical, wood, straw, that's it. Some of them are highly decorative and they have feathers and they have pieces of animal in them and they're breathtakingly crafted. So it just depends on which kind of aesthetic calls for you. And that goes for all of our altar tools. These are wide variety items. Like, they are basics, sure. Like, everyone knows what a pentagram, a chalice is, you know, a cauldron. But your specific use for them is going to boil down to what it is you're using them for and what your practice dictates. There's really no wrong way to have tools like this. I lovingly say that when I first started out, I had dollar store magic. I didn't have a beautiful silver chalice, but I had a fun clay cup I made in art class. I didn't have an athame, but I had a letter opener. I didn't have, you know, spell jars, but I had little Tupperware containers. Like, you have to give yourself permission to use altar tools that speak to you, that resonate with you, that you are going to want to pick up and actually use. Because that's what these tools are. These are different from our candles or our deity sculptures, which are just meant to actually hold space on the altar permanently and be there as reminders of higher powers. These are tools to be used. These are things to be touched and worked with and developing a relationship with these items. So when you go out hunting for your altar tools, be sure it is a tool that talks to you. Be sure it is something that speaks loudly to you, because that means it wants to come home and it wants to be used with you. So guys, happy hunting with all of your altar tools. I am going to take another delicious cup of my Merlot here, and I might actually tear down my altar and redo it for spring, because we are entering finally some great weather here, finally getting some beautiful, beautiful breezes going here in our balmy Cleveland spring that we have. Stop by the shop. Come see us. Come talk to us about your altar tools. I would love to hear what you guys use as altar tools, if you guys have any clever substitutions that you've used in the past and things like that. So please drop us a line and let us know. We love hearing from you. In the meantime, guys, stay witchy and cheers. I'll see you guys next time.